Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. In his message titled, The Eyes of Fear, Reverend David Williams tells us that it is hard to walk the path that God wants us to walk when we are fearful and have anxiety about our future. We need to have hope and trust that God will provide so we can make the right steps towards tomorrow. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated.
We sit just a couple weeks into this new year. And it's a fine time to ask ourselves how we're doing in that process of constantly remaking ourselves for the better. Some of us may have made commitments at the beginning of the new year to do new things. And maybe we're doing well at it, and well, maybe we're not quite as much as we might have liked. But whenever we start something new, whenever we begin a new chapter, try to deepen ourselves, our persons, there's always that challenge we face of overcoming the fear that blocks us from any new thing. That fear of failure, that fear of inadequacy, the fear that we're not going to be able to make that goal. A fear that often paralyzes us from even taking that first step in the first place. Each of us has something within ourselves that we know we struggle with and that we're trying to work our way past. Right now, let's admit before God that our fears can often prevent us from that growth in spirit. Let's do so in the prayer of confession, which is printed in the bulletin. Please join with me in praying. Gracious and almighty God, when do we begin a new thing? We know we're called to act and live in ways that are different and new. We know we're called to be continually transformed. But where does it start? How does it start? A sense of connection and purpose is so important to that, yet we struggle to find it in ourselves. Forgive us when we're too fearful to take that step towards deeper connection with you. Forgive us when we let ourselves be guided by our angers or our sorrows and not the deep love you have for us. Help us with this, Lord, because we're not sure how to find it in ourselves. In Christ, please forgive us our weakness. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to what is good. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading will be drawn from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 22 and running through verse 34, that's Matthew 6, 22 through 34. You can follow along on page 6 in your pew New Testament. Let us now listen a third time for God's Word. Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fear is everywhere now, I think, because fear is a very profitable thing. When human beings are afraid, our senses heighten. Our fear drives us to need to know what is going on in the world around us. And we start paying attention through the shimmering lenses of adrenaline. Our eyes are wide open and wild as we look around for whatever it is might be causing our fear, might be stirring our sense of threat. And when we're afraid, we know that we have to act quickly. We have to act immediately without thinking. That is how we survive things that threaten us. And this may trouble the souls of Presbyterians who prefer to do most things only after a task force has been convened to study the issue, but history did not smile on those among our ancestors who gathered ad hoc committees to discuss potential responses to that approaching bear. When we are afraid, when we are threatened, we pay attention intensely, and we act without thinking. And that, I think, is why our culture wants us to be afraid all the time. All the time afraid. Because we act without thinking, and because we're always on. It's everywhere, that fear. Take, for example, the Weather Channel. The Weather Channel lives for fear. I just don't watch the Weather Channel anymore. I can't. I used to have the app on my phone, and I deleted it because I got tired of it. I mean, here, a network that seems to exist solely to create abject terror in the minds of anyone who stands in encounter with it. Every storm means death, pretty much without exception. And it's frustrating. I mean, here we are in a terrifying ice storm that appears to be part of Winter Storm Jupiter. I mean, I think that's what they're calling it now, this, you know, because they decided they have to name every storm because it makes it more frightening. And they give these storms giant names, you know, like terrifying names. You know, it's not like Winter Storm, I don't know, it's like a couple years back, there was a storm coming through. They named it Winter Storm Khan. All right, now that should be a storm. That should be a serious storm. What it delivered was a dusting. And that was unfair. I mean, here, Khan, that is a name for a storm that blends a hurricane, a blizzard, and a haboob, and the air is going to be filled with flying fragments of Corinthian leather. I mean, this is a storm. No, it was nothing. Nothing except fear. You've got to watch this storm because, come on. Whenever I go to that channel, I feel manipulated. It's just so flagrantly trying to make me frightened so it can sell me things. It is as breathlessly over-urgent as that robocall con man who comes over the phone when you're stupid enough to answer it and tries to convince you they're from Microsoft and your computer's been compromised. It's not real. It's trying to make you afraid so that you make a decision impulsively. And that's not good. And it's everywhere. Fear is not without its uses. It can be helpful now and again for our survival, but when it's so relentless, it tears a soul apart. It leaves us unable to really discern what the best path for us is, and it leaves us easily manipulated by those who want to use us and snare us. And fear is the reason for the teaching that rises from the Sermon on the Mount today. The fact that fear is a pervasive part of the human experience is probably why Jesus delivered this message multiple times. It's right there in the Gospel of Luke, there on the Sermon on the Plain. He retells it there. He teaches it elsewhere, this warning against fear in Luke 6, in Luke 12. But whether it's in Matthew or in Luke, it's Jesus talking to us about what it means to be afraid. And large portions of this, I think, we find troubling. Because we're used to having just that little bit of anxiety with us all the time as a goad to making us do things. And when we hear Jesus saying, just don't worry about anything, just don't worry about it, it bothers us. It feels trivial. Of course we should worry. We're not supposed to worry about our life. I mean, if you're a practical person, this kind of thinking sort of makes you feel, well, that's wrong. Because Jesus is saying, don't worry about food, don't worry about clothing. Here you know, you got a plan for stuff. You got a plan for retirement, got a plan for your kids' college education, you've got a plan. You need to be working hard. You've got to keep your eyes on the prize. You need to be continually thinking ahead. You have to be ready for tomorrow because tomorrow's going to show up and you've got to be ready for it. That food we're not supposed to worry about doesn't just magically buy itself. It doesn't do that. The mortgage does not miraculously get itself paid. People who don't plan and don't prepare end up eating out of dumpsters, and not even the nice dumpsters. You even have to plan around that. How can Jesus tell us not to worry at all? You got to think about tomorrow. But what Jesus is talking about here is not about the need for us to be practical, to be prepared, to be prudent. Jesus knows that life requires those things. He's talking instead about the fear that digs deep into us, that is always present in us, the fear that manifests as that constant anxiety. The gnawing rule of fear over every part of our lives. Because there are few things that make life more a ruin than that kind of fear, that anxious, grasping fear. Because anxiety has almost nothing to do with what is real and is present before you. It has everything to do with those imagined things, those imagined futures that have not come into being. Anxiety is that uncertainty about tomorrow, the fear of those things that are not but might yet happen, that panic about what if, as your mind goes through every possible way you might fail. And those what ifs can consume us completely. We all feel them. and we are taught to feel them from the very first moment we are aware, from the first moment, especially if we're parents, when we have kids, we're meant to be anxious about them all the time. What if I don't get little Tyler into the right tutoring program and he/she doesn't get into college and ends up living in the basement until he/she is 47? That could be a fear. What if somebody steals little Tyler and sells his/her body parts, just like they're always saying on that website I keep going to for some reason? We fear everything, every statement. What if someone means something to me and I need to tell them, and I tell them that I care for them and they just laugh? What if the person I love falls in love with someone else and leaves me? What if? What if that isn't a zit, but is instead a rare form of cancer that I have looked up on WebMD? What if my brain short circuits and I end up hungry, broke, and preaching semi-coherent fire and brimstone sermons out of the back of a beat-up 1972 Dodge pickup in an empty Piggly Wiggly parking lot in some small Alabama town? That may just be my fear. I don't know. We obsess about the what-ifs, and not just in our personal lives. We worry about the what-ifs of our culture, the what-ifs of our nation. And when we explore those things, it makes us afraid and anxious for every moment, for every possible future. And if we are afraid of tomorrow, it can paralyze us and consume us, and it will, if we let it, destroy us, because that anxious fear tears the heart out of hope, and a life lived without hope goes nowhere. It never grows, it never gets richer, because anxiety is like the dark shadow of hope. It is its exact opposite. Hope, the anticipation of the probability that something can get better. Anxiety, the fear that every possible future brings with it something worse. And that fear, that anxious fear, as Christ tells it, comes when we focus on our hungers, on our desire that the world serve us. It is woven up with our hunger for wealth and attainment and power. And if that becomes the thing we think about, if that is the mammon we serve, then it will always make us anxious and fearful. Focusing on that is a sure way to make sure we'll be filled with worry. Focusing on material things, on the fear for tomorrow, means we'll find no ground for anything other than our fretting. Jesus says, let hope be what governs your approach to your future. Trust that if we seek after God's kingdom, if we seek after that righteous, hopeful graciousness, things will be all right. That can be hard. It can be a difficult thing. But as we move through our day-to-day lives, we have to look at that, to look at what it is we are focusing our energies on, where our eyes are. The eye is the lamp of the body, Jesus teaches. The things we look at, the things we consume with our consciousness, the places that hold our attention, those things shape the integrity of our souls. And if all we are looking at is fear and anxiety and the products that we know we need if we're going to feel adequate for the 4 seconds between that product's arrival in our house and its replacement with a new and better product. What does that do to our hearts if that is the dark light we take in with our eyes? So Jesus tells us, turn our eyes and our attention towards those things that matter most to God. Grace towards neighbor, forgiveness and forbearance and service, and not the 1,000 anxieties that consume us. Turning our eyes towards that light does make a difference. Make that your priority, Jesus says. And let your actions in the now, in this day, this moment where you can make a difference, be shaped by that. And trust that tomorrow will take care of itself if you are doing what needs to happen in the now. That can be a challenge in a culture that wants us anxious. But it is the path of hope and grace and the one we are called to walk together. So let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us. And we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It is hard in the face of so much anxiety all around to find that place of hope and trust that carries you to tomorrow in a gracious way. We are taught to be anxious about everything. To be afraid that we are not measuring up, afraid that the next day will mean something terrible. It's all around us, that pressure to be afraid. Because again, it is a profitable thing. Anxious people click on things. Here are 7 reasons you might die tomorrow. Here, avoid public humiliation. But this one trick, and you click, and you probably regret it. But that pressure, that anxious pressure to grasp false certainty is something Jesus tells us to avoid. Trust that God is gracious and good. Trust that God's everlasting arms support you. Do not be afraid. Be at peace and do from the heart of peace that which you know you must do. That's what Jesus offers us when we are afraid. And so whatever anxiety you bear with us, whatever fear for your future, fear for your loved ones, fear for your nation, hear Jesus' words. Don't be afraid. Trust that within God's grace there lies hope. And let your actions in the now be driven not by that fear, but by the grace and peace that leads us to be compassionate and ungrasping and loving towards all those around us. Set aside that fear. Take a deep breath, let it out slowly. And then walk that path that Jesus calls us all to walk. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.